have faith in God. That is our theme this morning, because in the world right now that is going crazy, we need to have faith in something greater than the world, something greater than ourselves. We need to have faith in God.
Are you looking for meaning or a word from God that's relevant to your life? Are you searching for a better understanding of who God is? Well, you're in the right place. You found the Gary Talks About God podcast. This is a weekly podcast that comes to you from the pulpit of Red Bank Missionary Baptist Church in Germantown, North Carolina. The podcast is hosted by Red Bank Senior Pastor Gary Sanders. Now let's get ready to take that walk through God's Word with our pastor, teacher, and friend. Hey, he's that guy we call Gary.
I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Habakkuk chapter 3, one of the minor prophets, and it might be easier to find that if you go to the book of Matthew and then turn backwards about four books, and you will find him there. We're going to be in chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 in just a moment. I hope this morning that you have noticed that there's been an underlying theme to the service, and it has centered around faith. We read in Psalm 46 about having faith in God. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith of those who have gone before us. The music this morning, have faith in God. That is our theme this morning, because in the world right now that is going crazy, we need to have faith in something greater than the world, something greater than ourselves. We need to have faith in God. And this morning, Habakkuk gives us a chance to demonstrate that faith. Now, Habakkuk is an Old Testament prophet. And when you hear prophet, I need you to think more of a spokesperson than someone who is predicting the future. Habakkuk then would be the spokesperson for God. God would come and speak to the prophet, and the prophet would in turn deliver the word that God had given him to the intended audience. And so that was the role of the prophets, and you can see that they had an important job as the spokesman for God. However, Habakkuk is really interesting in this regard. Usually when a prophecy was given from God to the prophets, that's the way it flowed. God would speak to the prophet, and then the prophet would speak to the people. Well, when you come to the book of Habakkuk, that's not the way it works. It works actually just in backwards. It is not God who initiates the conversation. It is Habakkuk. He goes to God, and he starts speaking to God first. Now, since he is a prophet of God, you would probably think, hey, okay, if he approaches God, then he's going to approach God and he's going to start praising God for who he is. He's going to just drop to his knees and go, God, I'm so glad that you're my God. God, I've come here this morning to worship you. God, I've walked around throughout of Israel and I've come and I want to worship you. Oh, God, I can't wait to be in your presence. Well, I got news for you. If that's what you thought, you're wrong. That's not how it starts. This is how the book of Habakkuk starts in chapter 1, verse 2. Tell me when I read this morning if you can relate to his words. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Yeah, that's what he's doing. He is frustrated by the evil and the wrongdoing he sees around him, and he comes to the Lord and says, how long, Lord? How long am I going to cry out to you and you not listen? You're not paying attention. You don't hear my cries. You don't hear my pleas. You don't hear my prayers. God, how much longer am I going to have to cry out to you and you completely ignore me? That's how he starts. You feel like that this morning? Do you feel like crying out to God? God, we're praying for this virus to go away. We're praying for the world to come back to normal. We're praying for everything that we knew to come back. We like that. God, how much longer are we going to have to cry out to you for this, for your help, and you will not hear me? Can you relate? I can. But then he continues. If that wasn't enough, Habakkuk then in chapter 2 basically goes through a list of God's characteristics. And as he mentions these characteristics of God and describes God and his perfections of his purity and holiness, basically he challenges God on who God says that he is. For instance, he says, God, you are pure, so how can you look idly at traitors? God, if you're so holy, how can you look on this wickedness? God, if you are so loving, how can you look on your people in trouble? And then he makes this statement in chapter 2, verse 1. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. Do you hear what he's saying? I mean, if you have kids, you might call this a little bit of a temper tantrum. He's mad at God. He's calling out God who he is, and then he just kind of gets there, and you can almost see him stomping his feet and going, I'm standing right here, God, until you answer me. I'm not moving. I demand an audience with you. I demand you come and hear my complaint, and I demand you answer. Until then, I'm not going anywhere, God. What have you got to say to that? Can you relate yet? Have you done that this week? Have you looked up at the heavens and shouted to God, God, I'm not moving, I'm not doing anything until you answer me. What is going on? I'm going to stand right here. It's tantamount to looking at your parents when you're little and saying, well, hold my breath until I get what I want. He's demanding that God answers. Well, God does answer. And his answer is interesting and frustrating at the same time. And the reason that it is frustrating is because God doesn't actually give him an answer. He is asking for God to explain what is going on. He's asking for God why he is allowing this evil to happen. And God never comes to him and gives him that answer. Instead, what God does is say, Habakkuk, I really don't need to explain myself to you. I don't need to tell you about my ways. I don't need to justify my actions because I am God and you are not. I do not need to explain that to you. And then God takes it and turns it back on Habakkuk and says, hey, how are you going to live? If I don't give you my answer, if I don't explain it to you the way you want me to, how are you going to live? Are you going to live like the righteous or the unrighteous? And then God in verse 4 of chapter 2 tells him, the righteous shall live by faith. Habakkuk, how are you going to live this morning? Are you going to live by faith? Or are you going to live like the unrighteous who live by sight, by what they can see and what they know to be true through their visual, what they know to be true through what they can do, placing their faith only in themselves? Habakkuk, how are you going to live this morning and everything that's going on? How are you going to live? Are you going to live by faith in God, or are you going to live by yourself and what you can see and the information that you accumulate through your eyes and say, you know what, I'm just going to place my faith in myself? How are you going to live in these times of trouble? Well, let's see how Habakkuk decided to live. And this brings us to the end of the book, chapter 3. Verse 17, and this is his final response to God. And as you listen to what he says, notice the transformation that he goes through. He goes from the, how long shall I cry for help, prophet, to the, I will live by faith, prophet. This is what he says in verses 17 through 19. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fell, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the folds, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. He has gone from the stomp in his feet, waiting, demanding God to answer. I cry out to you, you don't hear me, prophet, to the prophet that says, God, I will rejoice in you and take joy in the God of my salvation. And when he says that this morning, he ties his faith to the Lord's strength. And that's exactly what we can do this morning. We can tie our faith to the Lord because he is strong. And so I want you to just notice with me 2 points this morning as we look at these verses. And the first one is this. We can have faith in the Lord even in times of trouble. We can have faith in the Lord even in times of trouble. When Habakkuk is praying back to God, he lists, if you count them there, 6 items. He lists figs, grapes, olives, grain, sheep, and cattle. And he lists them in an order of what would have the least impact on life to what would have the greatest impact. So he starts with figs. And figs were kind of a delicacy. They were sweet. They were a treat to have. But if the fig tree didn't bloom, it wasn't going to be a major deal. It really wasn't going to impact or disrupt society. Yeah, I know that there were some fig farmers out there, probably wouldn't have been too happy, but by and large, it's not going to trickle out from them and impact everybody in the nation. If the grapes did not produce, if the vine did not produce, well, it was daily drink, but still it's going to be more of an inconvenience than a economic catastrophe. But then he moves to olives, and you can kind of start seeing the seriousness being turned up because olives were used and for oil, and they were pressed, and the oil that would come out of the press would be used for cooking. I mean, we still use olive oil today. But they also used it back then as a means of light. It provided their light at nighttime. So now we're starting to see, all right, now we're impacting our lives. Now we're impacting how we prepare our food, okay? A little bit harder. Then he moves on to grain. Man, if there was a grain failure, it's going to wipe out the staple food of most of the people. It might cause starvation for large portions of the population. If the grain did not come in, that would be a hardship. Then he moves on to sheep and cattle, which provided much of the economy in Israel. Of course, the sheep would be sheared and wool would be produced and sold, and they would make money off of that. Some of the sheep would be used for meat, and so you could see how crucial to the economy sheep would be. And as for cattle, cattle was used to prepare the soil. You can't have grains growing if you don't get the soil prepared. You had to have something, some animal, some beast or bird to help you get the soil ready to grow the grain so that you could eat. They would also be used for heavy work in the land. So if the sheep were to be cut off and the barn stalls were to be empty, now we are talking about a dire time of economic failure. And while any one of these six, the country might still survive, but if you take all 6 together, what it spells out is utter devastation. They would lose all their daily provisions. They would lose their economic might. They would lose the ability to eat. They would lose everything that they knew to be certain. And they would lose their hope. Because everything that they could see and living by sight had failed them. Everything that they had placed their faith in was now gone. Sound familiar? Sound like last week? The week before? Where we had placed our faith in everything that we could see. And just like that, it's been taken from us. So how does he respond? Well, look at what he says. He says, even though all this happens, he says in verse 19, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk says to God, he says, you know what, God? Even if it all falls apart tomorrow, Even if everything I know to be true is gone, even if all the crops are gone, even if we have economic distress, even if the food provisions are gone, no matter what is happening, I will still rejoice in you. I will still glory in you. And in that response, what you see is that he has no desire to just ride out the storm. He's not just going to hunker down and hope that as everything around him falls and collapses, that he'll be safe in his cave and cocoon, and he'll just wait, and then he'll emerge later when everything is gone, and he's better, and things that were there before that's not there now have returned. And he can see again and live by sight. He doesn't say that. He's not going to be complacent. Instead, he is going to go forward and he is going to place his trust in the Lord. He tells the Lord, God, if everything I know disappears and the earth wastes away, I'm still going to have faith in you and I'm still going to rejoice. I'm going to praise you for who you are. How on earth can he make that statement? What is there to rejoice in? If the land is in such an economic dire situation where everything is gone, what is he placing his faith in? How can he rejoice? Well, look at what he says. He says he can rejoice because he will take joy in the God of his salvation. He realizes that everything that he could see and everything he thought that he had faith in was not going to produce in him salvation. That, yeah, it would give him food, and yes, it might give him some money, and it might give him a little bit of feeling safe, but ultimately salvation was not to be found in any of that, for it is all withered away. He says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to rejoice and take joy in God who provides my salvation. I'm going to take joy in God because God will deliver me. I'm going to take joy in the God of my salvation, for he is greater than every problem I can see. He is stronger than the crops that have failed. He is stronger than the economic blight that we are in. I'm going to rejoice in him. And even today, these verses speak to us right now. Sometimes people say the Bible is old and outdated. Folks, this is a relevant message for the people of God and for the world today, and that is this. Even in today, in the midst of the crazy, the chaos, and the calamity, God is still greater than everything that is going on. He stands above it all. And in him we can rejoice because he is the God of our salvation. So we see that we can have faith in the Lord even in times of trouble. But secondly, we can have faith in the Lord to give us strength. We can have faith in the Lord to give us strength. Habakkuk can rest in the truth that God will give, that even in times of crisis, that he can place his faith in the Lord because he knows that God will give him the strength in the midst of the crisis which surrounds him. Have you noticed this? I mean, I think it's become evident. His strength is not found in the six items that he mentioned earlier. His strength is not found in the fig. His strength is not found in the grape. His strength is not found in the grain. His strength is not found in the sheep. His strength is not found in the cattle. And we can add to that. His faith is not found in himself. His faith is not found in whatever at that particular time was the popular self-help philosophy of the day. His faith wasn't found in science. His faith wasn't found in economic prosperity. His faith wasn't found in all the ways that we today place our faith, and we look around and say, I'm going to put my faith in this person, or I'm going to put my faith in this object, or my faith in my 401k, or my faith in my ability to accumulate wealth, or my faith in myself that I'm just such a good, great person. I'm going to put my faith in me. And we look around, and Habakkuk says, I'm not putting my faith in any of that because in the end, all of that will fail. He says, I'm going to put my faith in the one who is stronger. I'm going to put my faith in God because He will give me the strength that I need. And while it's not seen very clearly in the English translation, Habakkuk, when he says this in verse 19, he says, God the Lord. Those two words taken together means the Lord God or the sovereign God. It is the most powerful, strongest description to God that is available. He is sovereign over all things. There is nothing stronger than Him. There is nothing in creation that is stronger than Him. There is nothing that is happening in the world that is stronger than Him. And Habakkuk says, I can place my faith in Him because He is the strongest thing that I know. There is nothing more powerful. And we can say the same thing too. God is still the strongest thing in the universe. He is still stronger than all the rulers, all the nations, all that we see. And we can place our faith in Him knowing that He will give us strength in the times of trouble to stand. He is going to give us the strength that we need for life. He alone is the one that can give us what we need. And Habakkuk tells us this, and in language, I must admit, that is poetic and not something that we usually use today, where he says, He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. I'm going to be honest with you. I've never prayed, God, give me feet like the deer. But what he is saying there in beautiful language is this. God, make me sure-footed. See, the deer's of the time had very sure feet. And they could ascend to the highest part of the mountains and the rockiness in the land of Israel. They could climb up to the very top of the mountain, to the mountain peak. And if we think of God living above us in the heavens, right, we have this idea that God is above us and that we can ascend the mountains to Him. He is high and lifted up. And so we have this imagery of a deer with sure feet going up to the high places, going closer to God and to His abode. And what Habakkuk is saying is that, God, You're going to protect me and give me the strength that I need during this time so that I can come into Your presence and I can be near You. And by being near You, I will be able to then rest in Your strength. As one person wrote, he says, quote, talking about the deer, sure-footed, untiring, bounding with energy, the Lord's people may expect to ascend to the heights of victory despite their many severe setbacks. And may I add this morning that we will ascend to the heights of victory despite the time of trouble, the current crisis that we find ourselves in. You know, the world is a silly and to somewhat truthful, but a trite expression. I understand that to say the world constantly changes. That is very true. And we have been given a very healthy dose in the past 2 weeks of just how quickly the world can change. Everything that we thought we knew has been shaken to the core. The world today, you can almost feel it trembling with the fear of the people who are on it. Yet in this time of trouble, we can have faith in God that He will give us the strength that we need to live and to continue. Just as Habakkuk, who lived in difficult and unsettling times, found strength in the Lord God, today in these unsettled times, we can find strength in the Lord God as well. So I was preparing this sermon and writing it. I decided to go back through and kind of, not rewrite God's word, because you cannot do that. But I understand that we live in a society where fig trees and grapes and olive oil and grain and sheep and cow seem a little distant. So I wrote this trying to bridge that historical divide so it might speak to us a little more clearly this morning. This is what I wrote. Though I cannot find food on the shelf, though I cannot find hand sanitizer anywhere, though I cannot go to a movie, though I cannot go shop at my favorite store, though I cannot travel to visit family, though I cannot hug my friends, though I cannot enjoy a meal at my favorite restaurant, though I cannot go to school, though the stock market should crash, though my 401k falters, though I may be out of work, though I cannot join together with my brothers and sisters at Red Bank to worship, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. For God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. In just a moment, I'm going to pray, and Anne is going to come and play through Great is Thy Faithfulness. I believe in the electronic hymnal, that's hymn number 54. And the reason she's going to do that is because part of worship is responding to God. It's taking what God has taught us this morning through His Word and responding to Him. So as she comes to play and gets ready, let me ask you this morning, where is your faith in this time of trouble? Is it in your eyes, what you can see? Is it in yourself, what you can do? Well, I've got news for you. Your eyes and yourself will disappoint you. They will not provide you with what you need. And this is where one of my favorite sayings come in. Just two words. But God. See, we cannot provide the faith we need to be saved, but God can. God provided the way for our salvation in the most amazing way. We are told that for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. See, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to do what we could not do. He sent Christ to come to earth and live a perfect, sinless life and die on the cross for our sins so that we might be saved, because we cannot save ourselves. Right now, in the time and the trouble that we live in, we understand through the coronavirus just how little we can do to save ourselves physically. More than that, though, there is nothing we can do to save ourselves spiritually. We can't be good enough. We can't work hard enough. We can't give enough. We can't do enough good deeds. There's nothing that we can do to save ourselves from our sins. Habakkuk understood that. That's why he says, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation, the God who has saved him not just from the distress of the land, but from the distress of his sin and from his bondage. And this morning, that same God who is the God of salvation for Habakkuk can be the God of your salvation as well. For we are told in the Bible that if we believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. And more than anything else this morning, that's the message that God wants you to hear. That God is a God of salvation, and He has provided a way for you to be saved. This morning, I'm going to pray, and Anne's going to play Great is Thy Faithfulness, and then I'll come back with a closing prayer. But after I pray and Anne is playing, however God is leading you, wherever you are, you can respond. You can respond and ask God to increase your faith. You can pray and ask God to help you stand in this time of trouble. You can pray and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You died for my sins. I believe, Lord, You are who You say You are. And by that confession, you will be saved. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we thank You for who You are. We thank You that You are a God of salvation. And that in this time, as the world around us seems to be failing, as everything that we seem to know seems to be taking away from us and disappearing, we can still come and rejoice in you because you are bigger than the time of trouble that we are living in. You are stronger than the time of crisis that we find ourselves in. Father, in fact, you are so strong, you are strong enough to save us, not just from what we are going through physically, but you are strong enough to save us spiritually. Father, this morning, wherever people are, wherever they are gathered watching this stream, I know you still want to hear from your children. I know you want them to respond. And so I pray, Father, that wherever they are, however you are leading them, that they would respond. Take time to pray. Take time to worship through song, or take time to come and confess you as Lord and Savior. Father, however you are leading them right now, wherever you are, respond to God as He leads. For it is in your name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the Gary Talks About God podcast. Are you looking for a church? Well, Red Bank Missionary Baptist Church is a community of believers who exist to glorify God and see transformed lives through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find us on the web at www.redbankmbc.com. Also, come visit us on Sunday at 8104 Red Bank Road in Germantown, North Carolina. Did you like this podcast? We put one out each and every week, so don't forget to subscribe. We hope this has been a blessing to you, and we thank you for listening.